Good morning. Making the ultimate sacrifice. For anything worth having, one must pay the price. And the price is always work, patience, love, self-sacrifice. No paper currency, no promises to pay, but the gold of real service. John Burroughs, American naturalist. Today I would ask that you set aside your feelings about wars that are justly or unjustly fought, about the national leaders that have taken their nations to war. Acknowledging or celebrating Anzac Day and the sacrifices that war demands can bring up conflicted feelings for many of us. In the Unitarian tradition, we affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of every person and the goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all. We also allow for many perspectives and the right of conscience. We honor many views here. This talk is about sacrifice, and sacrifice is a word that is not specifically used in our Unitarian Seven Principles, but in the act of affirming and promoting each principle in our covenant, I propose that we make worthwhile sacrifices. This talk is organized into four parts: an introduction to sacrifice, Anzac Day and military service, societal views on sacrifice, and lessons that we may learn. It's my hope that the talk allows you to contemplate your feelings about the worthwhile sacrifices so many have made for each of us, the worthwhile sacrifices you have made in your life, and the valuing of sacrifice in our society. So many of us may know the story in the Quran of the patriarch Ibrahim's willingness to obey Allah and sacrifice his son Ishmael. The willingness was enough, and at the last moment, Allah provided a lamb as a substitute sacrifice. For Jews and Christians, a similar story is told. Only the patriarch's name is Abraham, and the son is Isaac, and the sacrifice is a ram. For all three religions, the message is the same: honoring the dedication and commitment that leads to willing sacrifice, even of something treasured and beloved. Merriam-Webster describes the historical roots of sacrifice as a word that comes from the Latin sacrificium. The roots are sacer, holiness, and facere, to make. Thus, sacrificium is to make holy. Selected definitions include an act of offering to a deity something precious, destruction or surrender of something for the sake of something else, something given up or lost. Sacrifice is an integral element of every achievement, and it plays a pivotal role in our culture, running deep within our myths, stories, history, and current events. We are amazed, we are moved, inspired, saddened, and angered by acts of sacrifice. The concept is fundamental to most religions and culture from the beginnings of recorded time. However, in modern times, the word has changed somewhat to carry negative connotations. Julie Merrick, a worship leader in Twin Falls, Idaho, points out that to some, using the word sacrifice feels like a burden, like an obligation, like something we look forward to being rid of. Sacrifice can be an uncomfortable word. Michael Schuler, a UU parish minister from Madison, Wisconsin, notes that in recent decades, the word sacrifice has been hardly part of the popular lexicon. Politicians dared not utter it, and easy credit made it possible for consumers to avoid or even defer sacrifice. Even as employers, both public and private, required workers to absorb cuts in wages and benefits, the issue was typically framed in terms of necessary concessions rather than the word sacrifice. What is it about this word that makes it so unpalatable? John Rittenbaugh, writing about the book of Leviticus, proposes that sacrifice disturbs our feelings of security in what we have become. Sacrifice implies change. The giving of something results in loss. In our material world, perhaps we are not so comfortable with giving up that which we value to achieve the greater good. So how do we counter these negative connotations and feelings about this word? How do we focus on valuing the outcome after giving something of value? One way our society addresses this issue is to build monuments of remembrance, such as the War Memorial at Auckland Domain, establishes days of remembrance, like Anzac Day, and honor those that sacrifice, like the award of the Victoria Cross to Captain Charles Upham for his military service to New Zealand. So talking about Anzac Day, Anzac Day on 25th of April honors service members from Australia and New Zealand who served and died for their countries during military operations. To summarize the idea of Anzac and the meaning of Anzac Day, I'm going to quote excerpts from a 2008 Anzac Day speech made by Commander Brigadier Dave Gaughan of the New Zealand Defense Force. Anzac is not a place or an event or a date. Anzac is people in uniform, supporting those in uniform, mates who live together, fight together, and at times die together. Anzac is a legend forged on the beaches and rugged terrain of Gallipoli and sustained through the combined efforts of Australia and New Zealand in operations in Korea, Malaya, Vietnam, and more recently, Timor-Leste and Solomon Islands. Anzac is also a symbol of every battle and every war or conflict we have participated in since Gallipoli, from World War II to Bosnia and Afghanistan. Anzac is a symbol of our nationhood. For New Zealand and Australia and Turkey, the events of 25th of April, 1915, are imbued in our national psyches, and hundreds of thousands are standing vigil in the smallest communities, towns, and cities across our nations on this day. It is a part of our way of life. This day is our testament to our fallen. It is a testament to our veterans, and is a testament to those who still serve. All of these are Anzac Day. We know why we are here, and we rejoice in the freedom that is New Zealand. So Anzac Day is about remembering sacrifices made by Australia and New Zealand military service members for their countries. Dying for one's country, beliefs, or fellow man is often portrayed as making the ultimate sacrifice. Going to war for your country, whatever the reason, be it patriotic, economic, or personal, is a sacrifice. It involves financial, familial, marital, spiritual, and personal sacrifice. Most soldiers do not go into the service expecting to die. Once in the service, having completed the induction, most soldiers fight and sacrifice for their buddies. The military heroes we read about making the ultimate sacrifice for their nation are military service members sacrificing themselves to save their buddies from harm. The story of Medal of Honor recipient Corporal Jason Dunham is a prime example. On patrol in Iraq with his squad, Corporal Dunham encountered a vehicle carrying weapons. The vehicle driver, attempting to evade capture, threw a grenade at the squad. Corporal Dunham, to save the rest of his men, deliberately threw himself on the grenade, attempting to use his helmet to shield himself and others from the explosion. Corporal Dunham was severely injured and died 8 days later, having made the ultimate sacrifice for his men. There is no greater love than this, that a person would lay down his life for the sake of his friends. John 15. The idea is also captured well in the movie Flags of Our Fathers, based on the book by James Bradley. He quotes, Heroes are something that we create, something we need. It is a way for us to understand what's almost incomprehensible, how people could sacrifice so much for us, but for my dad and for these men, the risks they took, the wounds they suffered, they did that for their buddies. They may have fought for their country, but they died for their friends. The death of a service member while protecting our freedoms has a tremendous human cost. Those left behind must face the consequences, the loss, the sadness. It is through remembering and honoring the sacrifice, whether we agree or disagree with the conflict, that we deal with the scope of the tragedy. Thus, we choose to value the sacrifice of the lives of service members in return for their efforts to protect our way of life, culture, values, and safety of our people. This value of sacrificing and the importance of remembering leads to the building of monuments and establishing days of remembrance. So why does society honor those who make the ultimate sacrifice? Is it just a means to deal with the scope of the tragedy? Or do members of society draw inspiration from the examples of service members' sacrifice? In 1990, journalist Bill Gammage wrote in the Melbourne Press, "1915 is not 1990. In 1915, Anzacs were thinking about the future. We can thank them best and honor them if we think of the bigger problems facing Australia." Other writers were very pessimistic about any kind of inspiration. One conservative wondered solemnly whether Australia of today would be able to find a similar central focus in time of equivalent strain as the country did back in 1915. In a sermon offered by Reverend Tim Cutsmark of the Unitarian Universalist Church of Reading, the Reverend expresses the idea that sacrifice is inextricably intertwined with all the delight in our lives. Think of everything most important in our lives: intimate partnerships, parenting and grandparenting, being part of families, achieving success in careers and avocations, belonging to a religious community, even participating as active citizens in our country. Every single thing that we can name that is important to us requires a certain amount of sacrifice. Maybe we don't use that word for our choices in all those different areas, but sacrifice is exactly what is happening. He continues, "Sacrifice and delight are indeed two sides of one coin. These two cannot be separated. If one is a devout Muslim or a Jew or a Christian, the sacrifices made in the name of Allah, Yahweh, or God are worth it because religious delight one receives from adhering to the precepts of one's faith and obedience to one's God. Sacrificing for one's partner, as that partner also sacrifices for you, builds our delight in one another. Sacrificing for one's child, for the child's health and well-being and future, is part of the delight of being a parent. Making certain sacrifices for one's religious community and one's home city to ensure its health and continuity enhances the delight that we feel in those communities. I propose that society honors those that make the ultimate sacrifice because of the personal importance that sacrifice has in enriching our lives." At the dedication of the National World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C., Senator Bob Dole shared the following thoughts on why the memorial was built. Senator Dole says, "Many heroes from that great conflict did not return home. They didn't live to see the fruits of their sacrifice. We build this memorial in their memory. We build it so future generations never forget what the World War II generation was called to do. We build it so they never forget the cost of freedom." I propose that society builds monuments to remind later generations of the importance of sacrifice for the greater good. This is captured here in New Zealand in the spirit of Anzac. How do we as Unitarians honor those that make the ultimate sacrifice? How do we address the conflicted feelings about the loss of life that occurs in war and respect the sacrifice of those that die to protect our rights and freedoms? I propose the following lessons learned. Today we have contemplated the importance of valuing sacrifice in our lives. As we affirm and promote the dignity and worth of every person, we should delight in the sacrifice that we make to live with others despite all of our failings and successes. As we affirm and promote the goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all, we should delight in the sacrifice that is required to be part of our imperfect communities. As we remember and honor those that have made the ultimate sacrifice while serving their nation in war, we should let go of our negative views of sacrifice and instead contemplate with delight the sacrifices that we must make to change the world to reduce the violent cost of freedom. As we travel the world and encounter monuments and memorials of remembrance at home or abroad, we should pause to value the fact that sacrifice, whether portrayed in a film, cited in an award, captured in an epitaph, recalled in a story, must be remembered to enrich our lives. We must share the importance of that idea with our children, our friends, and our communities. I'd like to close with a poem by an Australian, Gary Dodd, titled The Anzac Spirit. Each year on this day, many of us pause to remember the fallen, the injured, the lost, the sacrificed, the obliged, the volunteers, women and men who gave themselves for our country, people who are still on active duty, people who bear the injuries of conflict, people who have lost loved ones, people who remember friends who gave for their country. We remember everyone, for the Anzac spirit is more than remembering the sacrifices from conflict. The Anzac spirit is the bond that exists between all of us who live in our country. It also bonds us to citizens of our closest neighbor, New Zealand. It bonds us to citizens of other countries around our world who fought with us and against us. For the Anzac spirit does not discriminate. It does not alienate. It encompasses all who come in peace and remembrance. It is the essence of the connection between individuals, groups, nations, all who inhabit our earth. The spirit of Anzac is the human spirit personified. Share in the spirit, celebrate the spirit. Remember the past, learn from the past. Step forward into a new future. Step forward into a future uniting us all. The Anzac spirit, remembering, acknowledging, honoring, connecting, uniting. We are all part of this spirit. Let us all share it today. Thank you.